Eric Edson, detective from the Sheboygan Police Department, is in with us this morning. Usually joins us a couple of times a month, keeps us on top of scam and frauds and all sorts of stuff like that. Eric, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good.
Loving this weather.
Oh, we'll take six more months of this.
Absolutely. I'll take the rest of the year, for sure.
For sure. So anyway, you want to start out talking about some phishing email trends, huh?
We've talked about this a lot, but it continues to be the number one scam that people fall for when it comes to emails. People all across the country continue to fall victim to these scams. So we just want to bring some additional awareness to what the current trends are with these kinds of phishing emails. And for those that don't know, phishing emails refers to where you get an email from a cyber criminal that purports to be something else. So your credit card company, your cable company, something like that. And they're trying to convince you to click on a link that either they're going to steal some information from you or download some malware on your computer. So the number one by far, over 60% of the phishing emails that come in are what are referred to as fake page phishing emails. So it'll be a link that will direct you to a website that looks just like your bank, your credit card, your utility company, whatever it is. The scammers have become very sophisticated in imitating these websites of reputable companies to make them look legitimate, and then they're going to try to get you to enter your account credentials or your financial information, things like that. The next one are called info stealers. That's only about 15%. And when you click on those links, they're going to download some malware on your computer that's going to run in the background, and it's going to scrape the accounts that you use. It might be a keylogger where they'll log all the keystrokes that you do during the time you're on the computer, and they'll send that information back to the hacker. So they might get other account credentials, other sensitive information that you have stored on your computer. So a lot of these emails have the same general subject line, and I've got a couple examples of just what people should be looking for when you get an email that has one of these attachments that you should be scrutinizing before you click on anything, obviously, and we'll talk about that. But things like upgrade required, a lot of them imitate delivery services, so FedEx, DHL, UPS, things like that. Anything that says like there's an invoice attached or urgent. We've talked about that before, that these scammers try to create that sense of urgency to get you to click on something. Overdue payment, deactivation notice, that's a big one with any kind of streaming service like Netflix or anything like that. They'll send you a fake email saying that your account's going to be deactivated if you don't act immediately. And then the flip side of that is the congratulations one. So, hey, guess what? You, out of all these people, won the lottery and all that kind of stuff. And you've won a free iPhone. Or if you just take this survey, you're going to get this free thing. And
just click here.
Right, right. Yep. It's all going to be scams. I mean, we all like to think it's, you know, that rationalization is such a strong part of the human being drive, you know, and but it's so unusual for someone to actually win a prize like that, and you should never have to pay for that, which is the other flip side to that.
Sure.
So these scammers have become sophisticated, like I said, and they're going to try to disguise it using invoices and shipping notices to try to get you to do these fake login pages. Really what you need to do is just don't click on any links that you get or any attachments from unverified senders. I can't stress that enough. That's what gets people into trouble, and we've talked about it forever, and you know, people still, you get caught up in the moment. So, but you should not be clicking on any links in any emails from unverified senders. That goes for text messages too. Sometimes they'll use text messages for sending those links. Don't ever enter sensitive information like your login credentials or any financial information unless you're confident that you're actually on the legitimate site of that company. Don't click on any email attachments with unfamiliar file extensions. So a lot of times you can hover over the link and it'll show you, it'll display what the actual file extension is. Sophisticated scammers can change, can make that link look like it's something else, but when you hover over it, you'll see what the actual file is. So make sure you're kind of scrutinizing that. And then it's really important to use comprehensive antivirus software. So something that looks for malware and has those definitions in it for viruses, and then update it regularly. Some people forget to update it to get the latest virus definitions.
Sure.
That can go a long way in helping mitigate some of the risk if you do click on one of the links or if it does download to your email. I know that the antivirus that I run on my computer, when the email comes in, I get a notice that it's been quarantined. I don't even have to click on it or open it or anything like that. The antivirus software just automatically identifies the link or whatever is in there as malware and will quarantine it. So something like that should be running on all of your devices, including your cell phone. There's antivirus for your cell phone as well. So it's important to have that on there as a precaution.
Good advice. And then there's something called disguised image files you want to talk about.
Yeah, this is becoming a much bigger issue. It kind of has two different ways that it's executed against people. So you'll get an email that has a subject line that says something like either click on this sexy link of whatever, like kind of a racy kind of a tagline, or it'll be something benign like, hey, we've got your class reunion photos, or we've got this, check out this cool photo or something like that. It's kind of like clickbait. People might have heard the term clickbait. It's designed to entice you to be interested in whatever, think of this image that you're going to see as something really sensitive or dramatic or something like that, and to click on it. And the way that they're successful is a lot of these images, if anyone, people know anything about computers, one of the file extensions for an image is a .gif as a file extension. That's a file extension to let the computer know it's an image. There's another file called a .pif that runs in the background. Most people aren't familiar with it, but it has the ability to run executable files. So you might get, if you don't scrutinize it, you might get a file name that says whatever the name is, image.gif.pif. Well, the last three letters is what the actual file type is. And if you click on that thinking it's a GIF file, it's actually going to, if it's malware, it'll run an executable file on your computer. And I know that's getting kind of technical, but the point is to scrutinize those image files or those links to see what you're actually clicking on. And really, just anytime you see something that purports to be a really kind of sensational kind of image or something like that, again, just resist the temptation, avoid clicking on that, because a lot of times those things are going to introduce some kind of malware or some kind of virus on your computer.
I get some sometimes, like through Messenger, from people I know, and I know they've been hacked then, and it'll say something like, it's like a video. And there'll be a question there saying, is this you?
That's another one.
Yeah. I've never clicked on it because I realized.
But think about the typical response to that is going to be, your curiosity is going to be, how do they have a video of me? Or I want to see if this is a video of me, right? And people just really have to understand that that's a tactic that cyber criminals use. And really the chances of it being anything that you want to see or anything that you're involved in are so slim, just avoid clicking it altogether.
Good advice. And QR codes.
So if people are familiar with QR codes, they're used all over the place now. They're just like a two-dimensional, like a square barcode that people might have seen. During COVID, they were huge. You know, there a lot of places were no contact. So instead of providing you with a physical menu, there was maybe a table tent on your table, and you'd click that or scan that QR code to see the menu. A lot of legitimate uses for them. They can open up web pages. You can use them to share your Wi-Fi with guests. There's all kinds of legitimate uses, but like most technology, scammers have adapted to abuse that technology for their criminal purposes. So you might see them at restaurants, public venues. You might even see them on your car's windshield. Sometimes people will put them as flyers on your car windshield to advertise something or to say you've won something. Some municipalities are using it to pay parking tickets. There's a QR code on the parking ticket that you can pay. But criminals know that, so they may offer you free stuff on these QR codes. They may offer you a service or something like that. But know that when you click on these, scan these QR codes, you don't know what is going to run on your phone, where what website is going to take you to. There have been several cases in larger cities where people have gotten a parking ticket and criminals have put QR codes on the actual meter, parking meter itself, to pay, supposedly pay the ticket. And it leads you to a fake website that looks like the city's website, but then you go ahead and enter your credit card information to pay the ticket, and now they've got that information. So same with any public space, I would avoid. I just was getting gas the other day, and on the gas pump was a QR code to either use Apple Pay or Google Pay. That might be legitimate, but there's no way I would click on something like that, you know, or scan that in a public place where anyone could have done that. So inside of a restaurant, if the server gives you your bill for the night and it's got a QR code to pay, that's fine.
Sure.
I mean, you know that where that's coming from. But anything that's just in a random public place, I would be very careful on that. And a couple tips for people, use caution when scanning those codes, especially in a public place. Never download an app through a QR code. If there's an advertisement to download a certain app through a QR code, don't do that. Go to the App Store, go to the Google Play Store, whatever you use, and download the app from there. And don't use an app, a third-party app, to scan QR codes. Every phone nowadays, the new phones, have QR codes built, scanners built into them. So just use your native scanner on your phone, and then avoid using QR codes to pay bills or access financial websites. That's a way that scammers can get your information. So try to avoid entering any financial information on a website that you access through a QR code.
All right, very good. Good information again this morning, Eric.
Always stuff to talk about.
Always something to talk about, no doubt about it. Thanks for coming in. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.